Good to welcome. Thank you for joining us for a shiur in Project Lakuta Sichas, Chelek Yud, the third sicha for Parshas Bereishis. So before we start the sicha, it's helpful for this sicha to see some of the psukim inside, some of the verses inside, before we learn the sicha itself. So this sicha revolves around something in the story of the snake. In Perek Gimel, the Torah tells us that the snake was very sly, more sly than all the animals in the field. And the snake came to Chava, to Adam's wife, to the Isha, to the woman, and he ended up getting her to eat from the Eitz Hadas, Tov HaRa, from the forbidden fruit that Hashem had forbade Adam and Chava to eat from. Ultimately, she fed her husband, and as we say in English, the rest is history. Hashem punished every one of them. Hashem punished Adam, Hashem punished Chava, and then Hashem punished the snake as well. So the sicha that we're going to learn today deals with the punishment to the snake and the way the Torah describes it in the Torah. So it's helpful to see the psukim inside before we do this. So let's open up Parshas Bereishis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk says, "V'anachash haya arum," the snake was smarter, more sly, "mikoil chayas asada," from all animals on the field, "asher asa Hashem alikim," that God had made. And the snake said to the woman, Chava, even though you know that Hashem said that you're not allowed to eat from the fruit, so nevertheless, you should still eat from it anyways. And the Torah goes on to describe some of the conversation between the snake and Chava. The first thing that hits us when we see this pasuk, the Torah says, the snake spoke to Chava. When we look at a snake on the street, we don't see a snake that speaks. We see snakes that don't do any talking. So the sicha here revolves around the power of speech. What happened to the snake's ability to speak? If we continue to Pasuk Dalet, three psukim later, the Torah says again, "Vayomer anachash alaisha," the snake spoke to the woman, "Lo mois tumusun," you're not going to die if you taste from the tree. So again, Pasuk Dalet, the Torah tells us once again that the snake spoke to Chava. So the obvious question is, when we look at a snake, and we see that snakes don't do any talking. So the question we immediately have is, hey, what happened? The Torah says that the snake spoke. We look at a snake and we see that snakes don't speak. So the question we're immediately faced with is, what happened to the snake's ability to speak? How come the snakes that we encounter don't speak the same way the snake in the Torah has the ability to speak? That's the first and obvious question. What's the obvious answer? The obvious answer is that the Torah describes that Hashem punished the snake. So probably the snake's ability to speak was taken away in the context of the punishment where Hashem punished the snake for the sin that it did. For that, let's continue a little bit further in the psukim. Let's read Pasuk Yud Dalid and Tezvav. Those are the psukim that describe the punishment to the snake. Hashem's conversation with the snake. Pasuk Yud Dalid, "Vayomer Hashem alikim al hanachash," Hashem said to the snake, God said to the snake, God spoke to the snake, "Since you have done what you did to get Chava to eat from the forbidden fruit, you're going to be cursed, and you're going to be worse off than all the animals, and all the wild animals that roam the fields. You're going to go on your stomach, you're going to slither on your belly." In other words, you won't have feet anymore. "And your food is going to be sand, earth. You're not going to eat any delicacies, you're not going to have any appreciation for any finer things in life. Offer, sand, earth, that's going to be your food." Pasuk Tezvav continues, the next Pasuk, "V'eva oshis b'incha v'ina isha," I'm going to place a hatred between you and the woman, "u'bein zaracha u'bein zara," between her children and your children, "hu yishufcha roish," the man will crush your head, "v'ata teshufenu akev," and you're going to bite him on his feet. Okay. Do we see anywhere in these psukim that the ability to speak was taken away from the snake? Is that part of the message over here? Hashem says the snake is cursed more than all animals. It's going to slither on its belly, going to eat earth. There's going to be hatred between the snake and the woman and their families. The man will crush the snake by the head, and the snake will continuously try to bite the man on his foot and try to kill him that way. What happened to the snake's speech? The Torah doesn't say anything. So the question that the Rebbe asks in the Sicha is, usually Rashi answers any simple and obvious question. The obvious question is, what happened to the snake's ability to speak? Why didn't the Torah tell us Why didn't the Torah tell us that Hashem took away the ability of the snake to speak? Now, you might want to answer and say, well, not everything in the Torah does the Torah have to tell us. And it's true. There are a lot of things in the Torah that the Torah doesn't tell us directly, and we learn it from context or different places. The problem is that over here, we're not learning anything from context. The Torah is not speaking to us. The Torah is telling us the conversation between Hashem and the snake. So the question is, if Hashem is speaking to the snake directly, let him tell him what his punishment is going to be. Let him tell the snake directly to his face that his punishment is going to be that you're not going to be able to speak anymore. Yet, in the Torah, we don't find directly that Hashem says such a thing to the snake. Hashem does not say to the snake, you're going to lose your ability to speak. So the question is, where did the snake's ability to speak go? And more importantly, not where did it go, where does the Torah tell us that Hashem punished the snake by taking away the snake's ability to speak? So that's the question that we're going to deal with today in the Sicha. Now, in order to answer this, it's important to go back for a moment to Pasuk Yud Dalet. When we look at Pasuk Yud Dalet, the Pasuk says, before Hashem gets into the specifics of what the punishment for the snake is going to be, the Pasuk says, you're going to be more cursed than all the animals. So, seemingly, you could say that when Hashem says you'll be more cursed than all the animals, it means that any ability that the snake has, it's going to lose. Okay. In other words, until now the snake was smart, it's going to lose its intelligence. Until now the snake had the ability to speak, it's going to lose its ability to speak. Anything that the snake had up until now, in order for it to be worse off than all the animals, Hashem says, you're going to lose all of those abilities. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is that if that's the case, so why does the Torah need to tell me the rest of the things? The animal's going to lose its feet. You just say that it's going to be more cursed than all the animals in the world. And we know that if there are other animals who could walk and the snake has to be worse off than them, the snake can't walk. Other animals are able to appreciate meat, fruits and vegetables. The snake is not going to be able to appreciate it. So he's going to lose his ability. He'll have to eat earth. But the Torah doesn't rely on that. The Torah doesn't, for those two punishments of losing its feet and eating only earth, the Torah doesn't rely on us understanding that if the snake is going to be worse off, then it means that the snake is going to lose its ability to do anything. So if that's the case, how could we say when it comes to speech, how can we say that the Torah alludes to the ability to lose the loss of speech? How could the Torah allude to it by telling us that the snake is going to be more cursed than any other animal? So the Rebbe tells us that the answer over here really is that there are certain things that the Torah has to tell us specifically that the snake was punished. For example, feet. When it comes to the feet of the snake, the Torah says that the snake was punished to lose its feet. If the Torah wouldn't tell us that the snake loses its feet, we would never know that the snake ever had feet. So if the Torah, for example, would skip the whole conversation about the feet, and the Torah would skip the conversation about eating earth, we would never know that the snake ever had the ability to walk. We would never know that the snake ever had the ability to eat. Why? To eat delicacies. Why not? Because it's not part of the story. In the story, when the snake used its power to coerce, to convince, to seduce Chava to sin, which powers did the snake use? So the answer is the snake used two specific powers. And those are the specific powers that when Hashem punishes the snake, the Torah doesn't have to say why, what the curse is. Because the curse is understood automatically once we understand what the sin, what the snake did wrong, which powers the snake used. So let's understand which abilities the snake used. Number one, obviously, the snake was sly. Sly meaning the snake was very smart and very intelligent. And the snake was sly. Sly means that the snake needed to do something, and he needed to do it in a hidden way that Chava shouldn't realize what he's doing. Now, within slyness itself, there's two types of slyness. There's slyness in something that a person does. You do something and we don't necessarily realize why you did it. The purpose of why you did it can be for a different reason. You're sly and you're able to hide why you did it. Then there's another type of slyness. It's taking this slyness to a whole new level. And that is when a person is sly, not only in things that he does, even in things that he says. Why? Because when you speak to somebody else, it's very difficult sometimes to conceal the purpose of why you're doing something. You ask somebody a question and you want an answer. Usually, why are you asking? Because you want to get the answer. Sometimes in the question, you're hiding something. And it's much more difficult when you ask to conceal what it is that you want from the other person in the question. You're not telling them what you want. You're hiding what you want. You're asking A, but really you mean Z. Really you mean something else. So here, when the snake was sly, it was sly not only that it pushed Chava physically to do something, that it didn't act, The snake went and spoke words which brought about ultimately to get Chava to sin. So the snake not only was sly, the snake also used its power of speech in order to exercise the slyness, the smartness, the intelligence, and through that to get Chava to sin. According to that, as soon as the Torah tells us that the snake is punished and it's going to be worse off than all the other animals that go around, which things is the Torah talking about? The Torah is not saying that every single thing the snake has to be worse off. It's not part of the story. Which things is the Torah speaking about? The Torah is only speaking about specifically those things that the snake sinned with. In other words, specifically those powers that the snake used in order to get Chava to sin, those are the powers that are automatically taken away with the Torah saying that the snake is punished. So according to this, when the Torah says, Ararata, the snake is cursed more than all the animals that go on the face of the earth, which things is the Torah cursing the snake with? Obviously, the two powers that the snake used. Number one, its intelligence. Number two, its speech. So when Hashem tells the snake, you're cursed and you're going to be worse off than everybody, Hashem doesn't have to say explicitly which things he refers to. Automatically refers to those two specific things that the snake used in order to get Chava to sin. What about the feet of the snake losing its feet? We would never know that the snake used its feet as part of the process, and therefore we would never know that the snake ever had feet and lost them as part of the punishment. Therefore Hashem has to say, you're going to lose your feet also. The same thing is true when it comes to the snake's ability to eat and enjoy. We don't know that the snake's taste was part of the sin, because the Torah doesn't say anywhere that the snake wants to eat it himself. That's not part of the conversation. Because that's not part of the conversation, we don't know how the snake's ability to taste is part of the conversation. And therefore, in the punishment, Hashem has to explicitly say, your ability to taste things is also going to be taken away, and now you're going to eat only earth on the ground. Now, it doesn't mean that these two punishments are random, right? Because these two punishments are also midah keneged midah. Because everything that Hashem does is measure for measure. But in this case, the Medrash comes and explains to us what the connection between the sin of the snake and each one of the punishments that Hashem punished. And Rashi talks about it. Rashi explains what each one of them are. But the two that don't even need any explanation is the slyness and the speech. So the moment Hashem says that the animal, the snake, is cursed and it's going to be worse off than all the animals, what's included in that? Immediately included in that are the two things that the snake had originally. Now, it's interesting because, just to take this a step further, the Rebbe continues, and the Rebbe says, why did the snake have to lose and be worse off than other animals? You could say that the snake doesn't speak like humans, but a snake should still be able to bark. A snake should still be able to roar like other animals. In this case, we find that the snake loses everything. The snake is worse off than all other animals. Why was it important for the snake to be worse off? So the answer to that is in something that Rashi already told us earlier. Why? Because earlier in the beginning of the parasha, the first pasuk, in Paragimel, Pasuk Aleph, the opening Pasuk that describes the story of the snake. So over there already the Torah says, as an introduction, the snake was more sly than all the other animals. Why does the Torah have to tell us that the snake was more sly? So Rashi says the Torah gives it to us as an introduction. That because the snake was so sly and so great, according to his greatness and his slyness, accordingly was his fall. Because originally he was smarter than everybody, now he became more cursed than everybody. What's Rashi coming to say here? That because he was more smart than everybody, therefore he was more cursed than everybody. So Rashi's coming to explain over here that in the introduction, in the first pasuk, the pasuk already said that the way the snake was created was that he was greater than everybody. So if the snake was greater than everybody, and the Torah makes clear in the introduction that it is greater than everybody, the reason for it is in order for us to understand why his punishment was to be worse than everybody. If the snake would have been equal to other animals, you say he didn't stand out, he sinned, okay? So no reason to punish him more than anybody else. But since the snake was given special abilities that other animals did not have, and the snake abused those powers, so because he was greater than everybody originally, and he abused those abilities that he had, as a punishment, the snake lost, and was now to be worse off than all the other animals. In the words of Rashi, Arum Mikoil, Arur Mikoil. Originally he was smarter and slyer than everybody, and afterwards, as a result, he's going to be more punished and more cursed than everybody else. And that's why the snake lost its ability to speak, lost its ability to make noise. Even to bark, a snake can't do. Snake can't roar. Snake can't make any noise. Right? Every kid knows, you go to a farm and every animal makes a noise. Every animal has his way to speak. Right? The famous story with Shlomo HaMelech, that he woke up, he asked Hashem for wisdom, and he woke up in the morning. The Medrash says that he woke up in the morning and he started to understand the language of the animals. Every animal has a language. When it comes to the snake doesn't have any language, because the snake over here was punished to be worse off than everybody, because originally he was better than everybody. His punishment is to be worse off than everybody as a result. Now, this is also alluded to in the words of Rashi. Again, let's just recap here for a moment. The Rebbe is pointing out over here that there's two things that the snake was blessed with, smart, better than everybody. Number one is smartness and a slyness. Number two is speech. Now, when Rashi explains, again, back in Pasuk Aleph, when the Torah says that the snake was smarter and slyer than everybody, all the animals, Rashi says, what does it mean? What was he greater in? He was greater in his smartness and his slyness. And then Rashi says, ugdulasai, his greatness. What type of greatness is he talking about? What type of greatness did the snake have? What was he great? So the answer is that when we say that the snake was great, great alludes to the ability to express the slyness. Again, because like I said earlier, there's slyness that a person is a sly person and he does sly things. But to speak when you're sly is much more difficult, because when you speak, you're expressing things. And when you're sly and you're trying to disguise the purpose of why you're speaking, it's much more difficult. Because speech, by its very nature, is to reveal. So if you do something and you're sly, so I'm doing it. Nobody has to see what I'm doing. It's easy to conceal it. Greatness in this context means that the snake wasn't only sly, it was extra sly because it was able to express in words his slyness also. So we see in the context, what's a lesson that we learn from this Rashi? So obviously, when it comes to anything in Torah which is good, so we say that merube mida toiva, mida peranos. That something which is good is always greater and better and much more than something which is bad. So here we see that the snake, in one moment, the snake sinned, and as a result, what happened? The snake lost everything, any greatness that he had to make him better than any other animals. He lost to the point that he became utter mikoil, more cursed than any of the other animals. So if this is true in a negative way, that a snake lost everything in one moment, transformed itself in one moment from having to not having, how much more so when it comes to teshuva, when it comes to a good pu'ula, a good action, how much more so that a person can undergo transformation to switch and go from aru mikoil, from being cursed, to aru mikoil, to being wise, in other words, to being talented. In other words, in one moment, a person could commit to doing the right thing and a person can undergo tremendous transformation. How does the Torah teach us this lesson? Specifically through a snake. Why? Because when we look at the snake itself undergoes this transformation also. Why? Because later on in the Torah we find another story with a snake. The Torah tells us the famous story with the snake, that the Jewish people were getting bitten by snakes. And Hashem told Moshe to make a snake. And Moshe made a copper snake and put it up on a stick. And the Yidden were looking at the snake. And as a result, the Jewish people were now surviving. So the snake is the one who originally brought death into the world with the sin that we learned in our parasha in Bereishis. And ultimately, in one moment, the snake underwent a transformation. Instead of bringing about death, the snake itself underwent a transformation and was able to bring about to the best thing. It was able to bring life. So the people who were ill, who until then were dying from the bites of the snake, by looking at the snake, in other words, by the snake itself, was able to bring out the tshuva within the Yidden and ultimately bringing about transformation, that they should have life instead of death. So obviously the same thing is true with every single Yidden. Every single Yidden in one moment has the ability to transform himself and to connect to Hashem, to the essence of Hashem, which is the source of life, the essence of life. And the way we do this is, until this transformation happens, similar to the story of the snake earlier, by looking at the snake, by looking up at Hashem, and undergoing the process, the transformative process of teshuvah.